It's now time for Race Chat Live with Chris Creighton and Craig Moore.
Lord, Lord, Lord. I want to welcome everybody to Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. My computer shut off on me, so I'm loading everything up on the phone real quick to get these guys in the studio. While I'm doing that real quick, I want to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus and More Than Music. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Make sure you guys give us a follow on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. And also, make sure that you go over and check out our site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest. Got Chris in the studio. How you guys doing tonight?
All right, Mr. CJ Sports, glad to be here. Lord have mercy. We got caught. There's a race coming on here in about 30 minutes, so we're going to try to rush through. We still got a great show planned for us here tonight. Of course, I couldn't do anything without my co-host, Mr. Craig Moore. And shout out to you, Mr. CJ Sports, for all that you do, being our producer and all that, taking care of them bills for us. Mr. Craig Moore, man, how the hell are you? Well, maybe he's not unmuted yet. Huh?
No, he's in there now.
He's in there now. What up, Craig?
Not much, brother. How are you?
Oh, doing good, doing good, doing good. Was you able to catch any racing this past weekend? I guess that's the big question.
I was a little bit. I mean, I work on weekends, yeah. So it's tough, but I was a little bit. I'm on the weekend. I had to pull some overtime this weekend, so. But I know Taz is going to join us tonight. I'm actually in South Florida. My brother is getting married tomorrow night, so I'm down here for the wedding, and then I'm going to go home and behave myself.
Florida's becoming your second home, man. I can see a little bit of Florida in your future there, Craig.
I can, too, in about 5 years.
Oh, no, I don't think it'll be that long, brother. You've been visiting, you've been leaving that great state of New York several times this year. I think it's a lot closer than you think. So your dad's retired, right? How was that last
My dad is retired. My dad is retired. He retired last Wednesday. 55 years, I think, on the air, something like that.
Wow.
And turned it over between that and the Hendry County Sheriff's Department down here in South Florida. 55 years in radio and then however many years in the Sheriff's Department. But he just told me today that the sheriff has offered him a part-time position and he is considering it.
Well,
so
you know,
apparently,
yeah.
Apparently his honey-do list is too big for him to want to do.
Right. Well, no, there's nothing wrong with that. What my grandfather told me, you know, when I was growing up was that retirement was a lot harder than what it looked like. And I could probably understand why, because I had a grandmother who kept the honey-do list all the time.
He redid a couple of things already. He said he's been retired a week and he's worked harder this week than he worked in 55 years of radio.
Yeah, that's right. Well, when you love what you do, you never work a day of your life. So
absolutely.
That's
true.
Well,
hey, listen,
now, you know,
if you guys
go ahead.
If you guys didn't, anybody that's listening that didn't catch the interview last week with Alan Bestwick, you can go back on. You can go through the archives and take a listen to it. You're going to want to take a listen to it. It was a great interview. A great hour spent with a great broadcaster. And, I mean, it was just, it was a heck of an hour of an interview, and I'm looking forward to having him back on again.
Right.
Definitely looking forward to having him back on again. I do have a question for you, Chris. So Jimmy Johnson tested positive for COVID-19
right.
or COVID-20, however you want to look at it.
What?
And then he tested again on Monday.
COVID-19.
Tested again on Monday, and then it came back negative. Then he tested again on Tuesday. That came back negative. So guess who gets the race in Kentucky this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
it's like...
I call bull.
It's confusing. I mean, some people get it twice. Some people have it for 3 weeks. Some people have it for months. Jimmy Johnson had on record the shortest case of COVID-19, I think, ever recorded.
COVID-19.
We need a button to push for that one every time. COVID-19. So I think it was probably the fastest recovery on record. It should make a lot of nervous people not so nervous to know that you can recover that fast from this supposed to be life-threatening disease virus. It's the timing is what I'm scratching my head at, and you know, being that he was in the car and possibly already had COVID-19 while he was racing. If I was Allgaier, I would have definitely requested another car to race other than one that he had been in. It just seems that, it doesn't fit the script, Craig Moore. It doesn't fit the script. I'm almost tempted to believe that there may have been a false negative, but there again, his wife had it as well. Well, if he's already done with it and his wife has it, then he still has it, then he possibly gave it to his wife. Or he's still around somebody who's being exposed to it. I'm just scratching my head on this one, Craig Moore. I don't have an answer for it. We don't have an answer for a lot of this COVID-19 junk. And, tonight would be a great night where if all we had to do was push a button, man, my voice would probably love you.
COVID-19.
You got to say it with a British accent now.
COVID-19. Or an Australian accent, one of the two.
Yeah.
Hey, I got another question for you.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead. What's that, CJ? I thought CJ was chiming in. It could have been a false positive. There's been a lot of them going around. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see going forward. They did. The first person they checked was the crew that works closely with Jimmy, the pit crew, the person who handles his seat, takes a seat in and out, does all the interior adjustments. They tested four of them, and they all came back negative. I find it funny that he had, like you said, he had the quickest recovery in COVID-19 history. And he could have been on the tail end of it. You know, that was brought up several times. He could have been on the tail end of that. And then, you know, but he went and got tested because his wife had tested positive. And who knows, she could have had a false positive as well.
Right.
I mean, but
there's a lot of uncertainty into this virus. And, you know, you're looking at what the NBA is doing. Those guys are already in their quarantine positions in the bubble, as they're calling it in Orlando, Major League Soccer. You look at all the other sports and you look, you know, Jimmy Johnson is the only one out of 120 NASCAR drivers that has tested positive. I don't know if they've crew members that have tested positive. We just haven't heard about them. But, you know, to be honest with you, the only person that we've heard that has had this virus is Jimmy Johnson within the sport. That in itself, I believe, is unusual, considering that, you know, all these other sports have multiple, you know, counts of this virus. Of course, you know, all this started with a basketball player. Maybe Mr. CJ Sports can help me out here. Gobert, Rudy Gobert, is that, I believe that's his name. Did I say the name right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the right guy. I know the guy. He's tall. He's got long hair. He's from overseas. But there's so many of those in the Basketball Association that I was making sure I was pulling the right one out of the hat there. But he was one of the first ones to test positive for the virus, of course. Everybody flipped out. We woke up on March 11th, and sports as we know it has been changed forever. We can say forever right now because it still hasn't gone back to the way it was supposed to be. It is unsettling that there are people like my wife and I who, and you obviously, Mr. CJ Sports, we've never worked so hard in our freaking life, and yet there's ball players, $5 million a year to play a kid's game, and they're all scared to show up and play. You know, it pisses me off, but, you know, there again, you know, people with money can, you know, they can afford to take those types of steps to not have to work in the middle, I guess, of a pandemic. But, you know, my biggest concern, Craig Moore, is the healthiness of all the sports, right? Because if college football is not played, there's a lot of money lost. The reason why these teams are going to the bubble and the reason why Major League Baseball is going to play and the reason why the NHL is going to try to finish their season, the NBA is going to try to finish their season, and MLS is going to try to finish their season is because there's a lot of TV money on the line, and they just don't know how they're going to recover if they don't play this year. And so, you know, obviously our whole landscape could look a lot different in the next year or two in the sports world if something goes wrong here. I think that there's probably several drivers who have had contact with Jimmy Johnson that are sweating bullets right now, you know. If you take a guy like Clint Bowyer, who is in a contract year, you know, just imagine him having to step out of a race car for a couple of races while he battles a virus that may or may not affect him in any way, you know. You take another guy like Denny Hamlin, who's having an awesome season that he is, you get him out of the race car for a couple of weeks, and, you know, the race team loses his rhythm. It could cost him a championship. Well, so I'm sure that there's some unnerved drivers right now with the positive test of Jimmy Johnson. But how accurate that test is, I guess we just won't know.
Well, you know, the funny thing with this whole COVID thing, I was listening to Sirius yesterday. I think it was yesterday coming home from work or going into work. And then I caught it coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning that they're talking about having all these teams put in a list of replacements for drivers. Justin Allgaier is obviously the replacement for all of Hendrick Motorsports. But an interesting point was brought up. Jimmy was given the waiver for the championship, and right now he sits 15th in points. But the interesting topic was brought up is, okay, now it's happening here in the regular season. What if it happens once we get to the playoffs? It's detrimental. If they've got to sit out a week or two, how does NASCAR handle that? So I believe that NASCAR is going to look at that in the next week or two in depth, if they haven't already, to figure out a game plan and get to these 40 teams and say, hey, listen, get me a list of two drivers each that you can put in these cars, because you're going to have to have replacement drivers. So
yeah, you already know right now, Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, that there's so much stab you in the back that goes on over there. We've seen that in the final race last year with three drivers representing JGR in the chase, and two of those drivers had, you know, just off the wall problems that they would not have had throughout the whole rest of the year. Left side tires going on the right side on Martin Truex Jr. That may be opposite, right side going on the left side. But anyway, and Denny Hamlin, a big old patch the size of, you know, the size of a billboard put on the front of his race car. You know, that was sabotage. That wasn't just bad. That wasn't bad timing or anything like that. That was pure sabotage. Somebody within those crew members wanted to make sure that Kyle Busch won the championship. Argue me all you want to. I believe what I believe. You know, that what I believe may not be the truth, but I believe wholeheartedly that those two drivers were sabotaged to make sure that Kyle Busch won the championship. Hey, you know, contract years and championships, they all mean something. It's amazing how all of a sudden this year, Denny Hamlin's up on a contract year, and, you know, he's the fire driver. And Kyle Busch, who, you know, just brought in a championship, can't seem to find his way to victory lane anymore. And, of course, we all called what would happen with Martin Truex Jr. And Eric Jones is like the stepchild. He gets no – he's like Rodney Dangerfield. He gets no respect, right? So you know, you're already thinking about within that JGR family, somebody is thinking, how do I win this championship if my fellow teammates are here? Somebody's going to, you know, give some COVID-19 soup or something like that a week before the championship race to create this issue where – somebody can't race. I don't think it should be up to the drivers to say whether or not they are sick. I think that if NASCAR wants to do this the right way, then they'll test them like they drug test and just have random testing just to make sure that the drivers are healthy. If you know, I heard this discussed on the Doug Gottlieb show yesterday, that if LeBron James is playing in the finals, do you think that he's going to tell the trainer that he has a fever? No, he's going to take Tylenol. Do you think that he's going to, tell the trainer that he's got the sniffles? No, he's going to take sinus medicine. So, you know, you're going to have, once you get into the heat of this fire, you're going to have drivers who are not going to be honest about their health. We've known that for years in any sport.
No, you're absolutely right, and that was one of the topics that was brought up on NASCAR, on one of the NASCAR shows on Sirius was, you know, hey, I don't want to run the road course at Daytona. I wonder if the dinger is available. I'll just say that I'm sick, and still get an exemption. You know,
dinger is happening. Holy crap! We'll get to that in just a minute. Go ahead.
But, you know, hey, let's, I don't want to run this race, so I'm just going to tell them I don't feel good, and I'll get an exemption, and then I'll come back next week. And that's kind of the thing that NASCAR is going to have to try to circumvent so that it doesn't happen, because I can see it happening.
I just don't really see it that way. I think these guys really want to race. I can see it happen the other way. You know, my wife woke up this morning. She's normally off on Thursday and Friday. Half the staff, or more than half the staff at her place of work, has decided to lay out as they are being tested for the virus. My wife and I, we have continued to truck along, and, you know, no symptoms, we're happy, right? So, but she's, you know, unfortunately going through, you know, basically working her off days to cover other people who don't want to come to work. But when you're driving a race car, Craig Moore, who doesn't want to drive a race car? But I do. I do believe with what you just said, A.J. Allmendinger would be one of my first picks as a backup driver within an organization. I did not know, but, you know, this is something that I guess you look back over. Eric Amarola was a test driver for Hendrick Motorsports. Alex Bowman was a test driver for Hendrick Motorsports. So, you know, Reagan Smith, I think at a time, was a test driver. You know, Hendrick has always had what they call the backup driver, right? Well, I think all these organizations need to have that backup driver ready. And you don't have A.J. Allmendinger on your team, you are crazy, because AJ is having one hell of a year, guys. He is, I mean, this has revived his career type stuff. I just, you know, you don't expect a driver who's only racing part time to come out and be as fruitful as what he has been this year in a part time ride. But if y'all watched any bit of that road course race this past weekend in Indianapolis, first of all, great job, Indianapolis. You gave us something different. We enjoyed the hell out of that race. And boy, oh boy, boys, with five cars, three laps to go, you can't get any better racing than that. Unfortunately, there was a lot of bumping and rubbing. AJ Took a little bit of damage there, cost him the win. But, guys, one of the best finishes I've seen in NASCAR in a long time.
CJ? All right, I thought maybe he wanted to say something. Before we get too far in, I know Taz is with us. And Taz Taylor, our 518 dirt coverage correspondent.
Is that CJ?
Taz, you want to turn your radio? You want to turn your browser down?
Yeah. First, I want to give a little shout out to our tracks. You know, I don't know. This is summer season for us, and unfortunately, Mother Nature, as you can tell through NASCAR, loves to rain about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And so, race tracks have been drenched just before the drops of the green flag. The last couple of weeks has been really hectic. We've had a lot of rain out. We are expected to race this weekend at Wynot Motorsports Park. We'll have the Mississippi Street Stock Series there for $1,000 to win. As we get ready for the humongous race, the Southern Street Stock Nationals, unfortunate news come out late last week that a factory stock Pure Street driver that has raced with us several times, Chandler Shaw, passed away unexpectedly. Condolences to his family. They have basically made the memorial for him for the Street Stock Nationals. Instead of racing 50 laps this year, we're going to race 51 laps in honor of the number 51, Chandler Shaw.
That's awesome. You know, you hate to lose anybody, but then when the series comes up with a tribute like that, it's touching.
Yeah. Yeah,
what else
definitely.
You got going on in your area? I mean, I know you said rain, but
they've opened up. They've had a really strong outing. The car count has not been as big, but they've had awesome fan count. Deep South has rained out for the last 2 weeks. They have already canceled their race for Saturday. Hattiesburg Speedway has not raced in 2 weeks, and I have heard word through the grapevine that they will not be racing tomorrow night as well. It's just crazy that we missed so much time in the beginning of the year, 10 weeks near about that we went without having races. And now, you know, we're finally able to go racing again. And Mother Nature has just decided to not cooperate with us after all those pretty 10 weeks of beautiful weather, no rain clouds in the sky. The moment we can actually go about and go enjoy stuff again, it's the Mother Nature has not played kind to us. So I believe I'll have to check and see if Jackson is racing this weekend. I'm really not sure. Jackson Motor Speedway.
All right. Well, that is your race update from the dirtiest mouth in the South. And by the way, we probably should have said this in the beginning. I don't know if you did, but the views and opinions expressed on this show is ours.
don't get that mistaken. We're not a representation of the 110 Nation. We just work for them. And you know, look, I believe that most of the people I work with have kind of the same opinion as I do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're right. Those people who believe their opinions are right, well, they don't know the difference between opinions and facts. We try to bring the facts, and then Craig and I try to give our opinions of these facts. So the fact of it is Jimmy Johnson did test positive for COVID-19. Okay? But my opinion is there's something fishy about it. Craig Moore's opinion is there's something fishy about it. It's okay, guys, to have an opinion. It's okay. And if your opinion doesn't match what the other person's opinion is, that's great. That means we're still in America, and it's okay. It's just fine. It'll be all right in the morning. Go ahead.
I have my opinions about the whole Bubba Wallace thing, too, but I'll keep those to myself still.
I'm sure we probably share certain opinions with that. I mean, I'm just – I don't think we're that
far.
Well,
all right, I'll throw it out there. I think it was all a publicity stunt.
Right? A layover.
I really do.
Did somebody say, oh, really?
No way.
I think it was a publicity Whoa. Stunt to get him to the front of the bus so he didn't have to ride in the back.
Oh, whoa.
I mean, I'm so tired of hearing about this. I'm so tired of hearing about this. And it's like, let it go. I want to almost cue the Disney theme.
Do you think he's honestly leading in the votes right now, or do you think that's also part of all this for the All-Star?
What's that?
I don't understand why we don't know who's leading in the votes and why we would have to have somebody tell us that he's leading, right? I mean, who's getting that information? Who's seeing those statistics? Or is that just somebody saying, hey, I'm going to help this cause and say he's leading the votes? Because I'll be honest with you, brother. I don't see people beating Chase Elliott. I know how many freaking Chase Elliott fans are out there. I get into a fight with them every week. I know how many Chase Elliott fans are out there.
I just find it hard to – it's a tough pill to swallow, if you will. But anyway, I digress. I've said my piece. We actually were having this very conversation about this about an hour ago. My brother, my father, and myself. And my father said since they took the Confederate flag out of NASCAR and they now can kneel, NASCAR can now kiss his ass because he is not watching it because it's the most unpatriotic thing they can do.
Hey,
but anyway.
You know what? That's fine. They can hate on NASCAR all they want to, but you know what? It's not going to stop me from being a Kevin Harvick fan. It's not going to stop me from loving Joey Logano. It's not going to stop me from hating Chase Elliott. You know, I'm not as much in tune with what NASCAR does. I've just been raised so long in this sport that I keep carrying drivers over from the other generation. And you know what? It may come a time where there ain't nobody out there that I like. And if that day happens, that's probably the day I probably won't watch NASCAR. There's a lot of prollies in that, okay? And I'm not saying probably, I'm saying prolly, P-R-O-L-L-Y, okay? It's like tough, T-U-F-F instead of T-O-U-G-H, okay? You know,
hey, gold star for you, man.
Brad Keselowski? I mean, come on. What's not to hate about Brad Keselowski? I love the guy. So what if NASCAR does these things? Does that mean that I'm not going to be loyal to the drivers that I've become fans of for a long time? Look, you know what's happening? Tyler Reddick's opening his big-ass mouth, and guess what? I have loved Tyler Reddick since he showed up at our dirt track for the Fall Classic back in 2016 and announced to a few of us that, hey, guess what? I'm going to be driving Brad Keselowski's truck next year. Whoa, that's cool, man. But guess what, Tyler? You done opened your mouth so damn much. Guess what? Hey, have fun driving that second-tier ride because you probably done opened your mouth up enough not to ever get out of that ride. That's just my opinion. You know, Tyler Reddick. Opening his big mouth. Why do that, Tyler? You know, obviously Richard Childress had a problem with it. He made you delete the tweet.
Right. All right, let's bring Taz Taylor on. We've got a race at Kentucky tonight. So
and there's already been a wreck too, guys. It's already been a wreck on the beautiful. Love it.
Go figure.
So, Taz, what do you got for us, brother? Welcome aboard.
I'm getting ready to throw him in real quick. For those that tuned in to catch Ashley, she did get caught up at work. We are working to reschedule her to be on Race Chat Live. So as soon as we get a confirmation on when she'll be able to join us, we will get her on the show. But here's Taz.
All right. Taz, how are you, my friend?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
You know what? We're above ground. It's a good day.
Tony Montana, the world is yours. Go ahead, Taz. Do what you do, my brother.
All right. Well, first things first, I just had a conversation with a potential guest, and we have a date lined up, and I've talked to Craig about this, and Craig was good with this. And if you guys are okay with it, we have the Southern Super Modified Series promoter, Brandon Hightower, he wants to be on the show next week as a guest.
Sounds good to me.
In other news for dirt track racing from this past weekend, Albany Saratoga rained out Friday. Utica-Rome Speedway did not race this weekend, so therefore it left Fonda in Glen Ridge. Fonda ran two nights of racing. We'll get to the second night at the very end because that's the highlight of the weekend. So Saturday night at Fonda with weekly racing that featured the Mohawk Valley Vintage Dirt Modified Series. Joe Trudeau picked up the antique feature win. Kyle Ford picked up the modified win. Mike Francisco won the sportsman division, and John Rose goes 2-for-2 in the late model division. Jason Zamroff picks up win number one of the season in the street stocks, going green to checker, leading every lap. In the pro stocks, 25-lap, $1,776 to win feature. It was Nick Stone picking up the win over Luke Horning and Chuck Dombluski. Dylan Eldred led all 15 laps to pick up his first ever career limited sportsman feature win. And the sportsman class, Cody Clark held off a hard-charging Chad Edwards to pick up win number one of the season. And if this corrects me right, I believe Cody Clark is the fourth different winner in the division so far this year in four races. And then the modified, it was Stuart Friesen picking up the win over Larry White and Jessica Friesen. Down over at the Ridge, Frank Swing Jr. picks up the junior slingshot feature for his first ever career slingshot win. Connor Hill picks up his first ever all-star slingshot win. Josh Keane and Dale Van Allen won their respective mini stock features. Adam Tranka wins the street stocks. Stephen Gray picks up the limited sportsman. Luke Horning picked up the pro stock win over Josh Kunra and Tanner Warner. And Scott McCoy picked up the dirt car sportsman win over Andrew Buck and Travis Green. Also on Sunday, this is the highlight of the weekend, the Firecracker 50 that was originally scheduled for July 1st. They got rained on that day. They got moved to July 5th. In the Firecracker 50, we had Stuart Friesen pick up the $10,000 paycheck over one of probably the best top six I've seen in quite a while. But I know someone's going to correct me wrong on that one. But Stuart Friesen picks up the win. Larry White second. Michael Maresca third. Adam McAuliffe fourth. Jessica Friesen fifth. And Matt Shepard rounded out your top six. So notables for that did not qualify for the 50-lap feature. Darwin Green, Danny Tyler, Billy Van Pelt, and Anthony Perego and Jeff Hetzler. And then in the Sportsman Firecracker race for the Short Track Super Series, Chad Edwards picks up the win over Brian Calabrese, Matt Mead, Ricky Quick, and Tim Hartman Jr. And then Caroga Creek opens up for practice this Saturday. Of course, social distance guidelines are listed on the Caroga Creek Race Park Facebook page. And Dodge City Speedway opens up their racing car tomorrow night.
Now, Dodge City, we've had the promoter on from Dodge City. Am I correct?
Yes, we have. We had him on a couple years.
Stuart Friesen is beating up on the field again, including his old lady. So, kudos to Friesen for finding victory lane.
Jessica got half that money.
Yeah.
So well, CJ walked away with more money on the weekend than Stewart did, because we all know how a divorce is.
I will say this, though. On Saturday, Friesen did not start off, did not start the feature having the best car. Craig Hansen led the first 15 laps before Stewart Friesen found his way up to the front to lead lap 16 to finish off the rest of the feature. But it was a battle of Craig Hansen and Adam and rookie modified driver Adam McAuliffe. McAuliffe started off a little slow, but he ended up catching Hansen. Then a yellow came out. And once the yellow came out, it was all Stewart Friesen from there. So, unfortunately for Adam McAuliffe, who was looking to take the lead and hopefully get his first modified win, he had a yellow to kind of drown it out. So, unfortunately, he has to wait another week for that one.
Now, Tanner Warner, that is the child of Rocky. Am I right about that? He's been, I guess, on here before as well, right?
Yes. I want to get him back
on,
too.
Top three finish for him. Do we have any information on Little McGrew? What's been up with Derek McGrew Jr. and why haven't we had why hasn't his name come up in any of the rundowns here?
He's been running. He's a weekly regular at Albany Saratoga and runs the Big Block Modifieds. I don't know how much he really does in the Sportsman, but from what I've seen in the Sportsman, I don't think he has a top five finish at Glen Ridge that I've seen him race the Sportsman, which is a little shocking to me. But given that some of the drivers in the Sportsman field at Glen Ridge, I could understand why. But, again, still a little surprised. But in the Big Block Modifieds, Albany Saratoga, against the big old all-star piled-up driver lineup over there, That's going to be one tough gun to beat.
Right. Well, and he's young, and we expect there to be some growing pains as he gets used to the newer series. But what was really my question there was, why haven't we heard him in the Sportsman Series? Because I believe that he was still going to be racing that as well, and we just have not heard his name run across in any of the top finishes. So, maybe they'll figure out what's going on there and get Little McGrew back up in the winner's circle after such a great year last year. We were expecting really big things to hear from that race team this year as well. So, any of the other guys that we've had on, Mike Jackson, any updates on any of those guys? Craig, you know the names better than I do.
Mike Jackson, I've not heard anything. Mike is still recovering from a 5-way double bypass surgery that he had shortly before I had mine. So I know that his racing year for this year might be on the skids, at least for 2020. As far as McGrew Jr., like Taz said, I've not heard anything, and that's disappointing. I'm going to reach out to Derek Sr. and see if I can't find out something, and I'll post it on the page for next week.
Okay, we had another driver as well who had not ever really won a race, but he was now a car owner, and there was a little bit of success going on. Can you refresh my memory on that, Craig Moore?
Was it Mike Bellinger?
I think it was Bellinger. Yes, sir, it was.
Yeah. He's running. He's got some cars. He was at Fonda. I believe, Taz, was he at the 50?
No, he was not.
All right, it was the week before I had seen him. And they had a 15th place finish the week before that. Nothing to write home about, but, they're trying to get better and better each week. The problem is they're an underfunded race team like most of these guys are. And they're just trying to keep their head above water and put up good finishes. They did have a driver last year, and I can't remember the gentleman's name. It escapes me for some reason. He was a former
Victory Lane, right?
Yes. And I don't believe they had paired up again this year. There may have been some contractual issues.
Right.
So.
Well, that's the way racing goes a lot of times. There's great chemistry that comes with when you stick together with certain people. But, you know, in this day and age, look, I mean, opportunity comes once in a lifetime, and you have to make the best decision for you. So a lot of times what you think is a great pairing doesn't last for very long, and that's just the way that the business is. Taz, you're doing awesome, and thank you for coming on. Is there any more updates that we need to know about?
I don't believe so. There is one, and I'm surprised you, Chris, didn't even say it, because this is more down your neck of the woods. Chatham, Louisiana is hosting the Southern Super Modified Series yet again this weekend. I don't know the payouts or anything like that, but Brandon Hightower, he's hoping to get at least 12 cars for down there this weekend. So we'll see how he goes, and hopefully he gets the turnout that he's looking for.
Yeah, that's going to be kind of tough. They're not expecting the New Yorkers to come down for this one, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a lot of the Northeast guys to be coming or to take a week
right.
off from their weekly racing and maybe big payouts to go all the way down to Louisiana and make the trip for down there. But hopefully
what it sounds like is Mr. Hightower is trying to build that type of modified class down in this area, and kudos to him. Our modified class in this area is so jacked up. Some of us are running IMCA. Some of us are running UMP. Some of us are running USTMS. Some of us are running a hybrid of all three. And then, of course, there's Durance Lane Sportsman Modified, which is a 70-inch wheel span instead of a 72-inch, which is what most modifieds are. So, you know, there's always, you know, that one, you know, group series that wants to change, you know, and make it their own. So if we could get something like the Big Block Modifieds down here, you've got a lot of great modified drivers that are from this area. To see them in a real modified and a real jacked up car that goes really, really fast, I think that would probably serve our fans a lot better than all these, you know, just different hybrids of series cars, because there's no real specific series here. And they may run under UMP rules, but there's going to be a different tire. There's going to be some, you know, wheelbase issues or whatever. You know, there's always a turning of the head with these modifieds in our area. So kudos to Mr. Hightower for trying to put something together and bring that type style modified racing to Mississippi. I mean, look, one more can't hurt, right? One more class can't hurt it. As a matter of fact, I could see where this, if it took off, could be a really big thing, because, look, these big block modified drivers, they are the super late model drivers of our area, right? When you're talking about big block modified drivers from the Northeast, you're talking about the best of the best. Well, we have that with super late models. You go a little bit south, and there's a lot of sprint car drivers, maybe a little bit more north than the sprint car drivers as well. But through our areas, generally, if you're a badass, you're a super late model driver. Well, I'm telling you, the Northeast has some badass big block modified drivers, and I would love to see that type of style racing down here in the Southeast. Okay, I got to talk about the sun? Y'all talking behind my back or something? What's going on here?
No, I believe what Brandon's doing is great, and obviously with him being a guest next week, we'll get to know how he started it and where is he going with it. And I believe this is the first year he's done it, so I don't expect it to take off with ease. But with what he's done, and especially in the times that we were given, when you guys down south were allowed racing and he brought in the series, he let invited some of the Northeast guys and made sure they had decent payout days, and we'll see how he does this weekend without the Northeast guys. Hopefully he gets the count, like I said, hopefully he gets the count that he's looking for. And but either way, I'm sure he'll have some kind of success down there. And I know he's got a Southern late model series down there too. That's the sister series to the mods, but it's great to see the Northeast mods go somewhere in a different part of the country, and I'm glad Brandon's actually doing that.
Well, after being a many year subscriber to Speedway Illustrated, they give you so many different classes. You know, that's a great, awesome, the Dick Berger Speedway Illustrated. If you're not subscribed to them, they're not a sponsor of this show. I'm a firm believer in their magazine. And that is your insight to what other type of racing it is other than in your area. And we all know U-Cars. We all know Stingers and Hot Shots. They're all the same car. You know, and Modifieds, it's not necessarily even the same car, guys. I mean, you have Midwest Modifieds, and you've got Northeast Modifieds, and you've got Southern Modifieds, and they all look different. They all have a different style to them, and they all race different. Some have a restriction on the motors, others don't, you know. Big block modifieds are, you know, those are bring as much as you can, hope you brought enough. And that's what I love about it. If you haven't subscribed yourself to one of these magazines and are able to really look at the different types of race cars there are, it's awesome to have a super late model series that goes around from coast to coast and, puts on a weekly show. Big block modifieds have generally been a Northeastern thing. To see them, you know, slowly creeping down here, it makes this one race fan right here really excited.
Yeah, and I know with Brandon and some of his roles, he incorporates some of Brett Dale's short track super series rules, and he incorporates some of the super dirt car series rules. So he kind of incorporates a little bit of both and throws his own flair into it. And when I watched his return from the Corona events down at Chatham, from what I have seen, the Southern drivers and the fans that were there, they seem to really enjoy it. And like I said, I hope that he gets more Southern drivers to get into those type of modifieds and take off from there.
Yeah, definitely.
Craig?
We've lost Craig. Storms blew through Florida, and he lost service. So you're stuck with me, sir.
Okay, all right. Well, I probably just didn't let Craig talk long enough, so he gave up on us. he'll not a quaalude, and he'll love me in the morning. But he's all about the Tony Montana references. So we'll just throw that one out there. You point your finger and you say that's the bad guy. You know, I'm the best, last bad guy you'll ever see. So anyway, Taz, what's been going on up there at the fairgrounds? Are they still pushing for their big yearly race, or what's the atmosphere going on? We know that Watkins Glen has now been shut down. What is the atmosphere right now going on in the Northeast? And with tracks not allowing fans or a limited number of fans, how is that working? Have you been able to talk to the business side of racing, to some of these track owners and stuff, and find out how they're surviving?
I have not had a real good chance to talk to any actual track owner to figure out, or track promoter, how they're keeping their tracks going and such like that. I know Orange County and Fonda, one week you could have fans in the stands and next week you can't. But I know Fonda and Orange County have been doing the drive-in, whether if it's the infield or in their own designated driving area. So they're making money somewhere. And I believe Orange County.
Did you say they're doing a drive-in race? A drive-in?
Like Orange County, they have a massive, huge amount of property, and they have a designated drive-in area outside of the track on the backstretch. And they've let fans, you know, drive in, sit outside your vehicle, watch the races like normal. And I believe Orange County opened up their infield to do the same thing, basically do the same thing, except you're in the infield now. Fonda's been doing the infield. I know there's times where Fonda's been allowed fans in the stands, and then sometimes they're not. I know this weekend they're only doing the infield drive-in. Grandstands are closed. Not sure the reason. But I believe Orange County has opened up some of their deck space that they have, which I think sits above their grandstands. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe they opened that up, and they're kind of treating it like a restaurant type deal where you're socially distanced and you have people bring your food and still watch the races. I know Utica Rome, they want fans in the stands, and so they took 4th of July weekend off, and they're in talks with officials trying to figure out how can they get fans in the stands safely and whatnot. I know Lebanon Valley has been kind of the same boat as Fonda, but I don't think they've had the infield drive-in option because I believe their pits are in the infield, if I remembered right. I know Land of Legends out in Canandaigua, they had fans in their last race that I can remember, which I don't think was Saturday night. I think that was last Thursday, if I remember correctly. But it's been interesting to see how some of these tracks and staff have been tackling the situation at hand, and it's amazing that they're still doing what they can do given what's there.
A lot of these tracks in the Northeast, especially in the New York area, they depend on Canadian racers to come over the border, right? So we're missing some of these drivers as well, just because of logistical reasons, right? I mean, I know I'm reaching out there. I know I'm doing my best Colin Cowherd right now. But work with me, Taz. We got a few minutes to fill here. Has there been a significant number of car drop-offs? Or, you know, basically, what are the car counts looking like? And have you seen it affected by Canadian drivers not being able to come into the U.S.?
From my local tracks, in terms of Albany, Saratoga, Fonda, Glen Ridge, their counts have been normal as if it was a normal day before COVID. But I know Super Dirt Car Series has not ran an official points-paying race. They've only ran the Dirt Car Nationals in Florida. So I'm sure that's got to be killing them. Brett Dale has been getting his usual car counts no matter where he goes, regardless if it's a series or track. But I do believe had Dale not had fans for the Firecracker 50 at Fonda, I think he probably would have lost some kind of car count because I know, A, the drivers want the fans in the stands, and B, Dale was going to knock that 10. If there was no fans to stand, that $10,000 to win would have been knocked down to whatever he usually pays, which I don't exactly remember off the top of my head. I have to actually look that up. But which would have sucked for some of these drivers who kind of rely on that special bonus money, which, you know, you have to have fans to make some kind of money and rely on that extra money to come in.
Yeah, no, most definitely. It's, you know, in order to pay the drivers, especially the top classes right now, with nobody being allowed to come in and see these races or limited amount of seating or drive-in options, you know, these promoters have got to have a full field of cars, Taz. They've got to be able to pack the pit. because that's the only source of revenue coming in, other than, you know, a little bit of concession on a weekly night. You sell from the front gate. Hopefully you have enough in the back gate, and somewhere in the middle you'll pay the power bill and the insurance. That's not the business structure going on right now at these dirt tracks all across America, and it's concerning. The longer we're not able to put fans in the stands, the more that you're risking drivers not showing up to a certain track. And, you know, all it'll take is a couple of times of that, guys, and we'll have racetracks shut down all over America.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that some of these tracks who are, like, itching to get fans can figure out a way to I know a lot of these tracks, they're not like Orange County, or when you go to, like, a football game or baseball game, they don't have selected seats. It's just when you go to a racetrack, it's straight-up bleachers. And they don't have, like, say, what Orange County or even Weedsport, because Weedsport's another giant track, too, that have, like, maybe these private deck areas where you can, you know, reserve a spot at a table and have a waitress come over and get you your food and drink and everything else. So I know some of these tracks are kind of struggling, and I know that it's going to be tough, and especially these smaller kart tracks, which I'm interested to see how Caroga is going to run, being that the 518 LMRL Predator classes are going to be running there on a weekly basis. I'm going to see how they're going to handle, because they're only allowed 3 crew members per race entry. If one person enters in more than one class, they're allowed 1 additional crew member. But so you have a driver and 3 crew members, and then if you have a second cart, it's a driver and 4 crew members. So it's tough to see, and I'm interested to see how Caroga will do, and I'm sure Tom Barron will pull something and will do well and make the best of the situation given.
Exactly. Tazza, we've had you on for about 30 minutes here. It doesn't look like Craig Moore is going to make it back to the show. You know, you're doing an outstanding job giving us those updates every week. And it's definitely giving me something to look forward to. Kind of more of a personal one-on-one interview with you here tonight. It kind of helped me get to kind of feel your rhythm and how you're progressing each week with your updates and stuff. So the more that I get to know, the more I get to learn from you, the better I am at working with you and asking questions. And I think that's tonight was the first night that I actually was able to grasp your updates, because, you know, it takes a few weeks of understanding and learning some of the names and all, and who's supposed to be where. You know, it's, you turn on your TV on a Sunday and you're probably going to see Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, and maybe a Penske driver running up front. I mean, that's just the way it is. Those guys are on their game right now. So I am enjoying the updates. I'm enjoying the personalization that we're getting from this. And just really glad to have you as a member of the Race Chat Live and the 110 Nation team. Mr. CJ Sports, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
All right, so there's a lot of other things that we could cover right now. Taz, you're more than welcome to stay with us or sit back and listen. I've got to finish off what I was supposed to be doing with Craig. So the announcement come out, we just talked about it with Taz. No racing at Watkins Glen. We're going to race Daytona Road Course. Are you excited about that? Is there anything that kind of tickles you about that, or what do you think?
It'd be nice to see the Cup guys do something a little bit different. It was interesting to see Charlotte and the Roval. This whole COVID-19 and everything this year has really made NASCAR think outside of the box and do things that they traditionally didn't do. Back-to-back races, the same track, races in the middle of the week. Now we're doing the road course in Daytona. This has really got NASCAR kind of using an opportunity to experiment with some things, see what works, what doesn't work, what can be used moving forward, and what's going to pull in ratings and everything else. That's the only really bad thing about the whole Bubba Wallace thing and the black eye. You kind of lost with that whole scenario without getting into all that. You kind of lost fans' attention and really kind of irked a lot of fans off. At the same time, you could have been using this to gain momentum, see what worked and everything else. You drew us back
in. You gave us Martinsville under the light. You gave us, and we didn't even talk about it on a Wednesday night, dude. You gave us Martinsville under the lights on a Wednesday night with another race scheduled 2 days later, and we wasted our time talking about something that's kind of irrelevant. We all knew that the guy was a black guy. We knew that he was in racing, and that's awesome. Like, it shouldn't be because you're a certain color, you can't come race with us. That's stupid. I've never felt that way in my life. So I don't understand why so much we were exhausting ourselves over a certain subject, and we were missing so much. It was like, it's been like, Mr. CJ Sports, it's been like pulling down a lever on a wheel at the casino. And watching, and whatever it lands on, that's what we're gonna do this week. We're gonna do a doubleheader Xfinity. Let's do it. Oh, guess what? We're gonna race at the Daytona Road Course. Let's do it. You know? Oh, hold on. Oh no, we got All Star Race at Bristol, and we're gonna put lights under the cars. I love it.
I have mixed emotions about all this.
This is how badly we wanted sports. This is to tell you the severity how much you had us sucked in, and you dropped the ball on it. You had us watching professional drivers play a video game. We were all sucked in watching iRacing, and you had millions of people tuning in to basically watch what I make fun of people doing, watching YouTubers on TV playing video games. You had us all sucked in. Looking at the reality of this and learning what the drivers were actually doing and helping their to perfect their skills, and we're sucked into this week after week. You even brought back North Wilkesboro, which was like, wow. And then you dropped the ball when it was all said and done. Like you had, but this is another opportunity. We get to see a different track we don't traditionally see, an opportunity to NASCAR to basically run this, see how it goes, if it's going to be a win or a loss scenario. The season's kind of wacky as it is, so you kind of chalk it up with everything that's going on this year, but I'm looking forward to seeing them run at the road course at Daytona.
But with the road course, though, because originally we were supposed to wait till, what was it, the Clash next year to see that Daytona road course. Now we get to see it firsthand, which is in a way, I guess, good, but kind of sucks, not gonna lie, being a New York native and Watkins Glen being the only New York NASCAR track. It sucks in a way, and I'm gonna put a big ol' suck on this one, because when things very first started reopening, when we first went to stage one, Watkins Glen was allowed to race without fans, and it stayed that way till Watkins Glen was given the cold shoulder, saying, "Oh, you can't race anymore." So I don't know why. I don't know what Cuomo was thinking on the top of his brain, and I'm not getting into it because I highly despise the guy. But
he's looking rough here lately too. The guy's aged 10 years in the last 2 months.
His thinking with some of this has me mind blown of what went through his thought process, and I don't know, but I know
these guys
a lot
don't
of
think
people
for themselves. They have advisors, and you know that, Taz. These guys don't think for themselves. They have advisors, and they're told what to say and what to do because they're puppets. And Como is, you know, he's a puppet. But you would think with all the ass-kissing that they've done to the Democrats over the last few weeks that we would have somehow been able to race the Watkins Glen. I completely understand how you feel, Taz, because they didn't let us go to Talladega, dude. They didn't let us go to Talladega. They had a race at the most sacred racetrack in the world, and they refused to let me to it because I was from Mississippi and I didn't live in Alabama. I'm 150 miles from the track. I actually 169, but I was going to lie. And they wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me in. They wouldn't let me in because I live in Mississippi. So, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I understand how you feel about that. And so when you move it down to Daytona, I just got impressed by your NASCAR game because you were like, hey, you know, we're racing there in next year. And so that lets me know that you are listening, that you are, you know, a little bit involved in the NASCAR side of things, which is really cool. I'm glad to know that. Bristol All Star, they're going to put lights under the cars. Is this one of those things where, you know, they just added something to this or something? Give me something there, CJ Sports. Tell me what you think about the green underglow.
Is this a real thing? I saw the post, but I thought this was just someone trying to be funny with NASCAR. Are we really put lights underneath the car for those that are already in?
Yeah, I believe that's what. You know, we could do this with graphics, right? We wouldn't even have to like install a light under the car. We could literally just make sure that there was a underglow of the car through the screen on your TV, similar to the way that they highlight certain things and they make the little line on the football field, because whether or not most people know it or not, that line doesn't really exist. The ABC and CBS, they put that line there so you'll know where the ball is. But they're going to put underglow into the car. And so we're going to have the numbers to the back. We're going to have the numbers slammed to the back, the sponsor on the door. We're going to have underglow lights on this thing. Are we just living Cars 3? I mean, did I wake up and we become a cartoon?
Fast and the Furious.
Fast too Furious. Your business style. Wah! Oh, Tim has gotten a little happy on his sports cars versus his NASCARs, and this is kind of the – this is the baby of it, right? This is Jim France's vision of how he can bring these two series together and make them one. I see it, guys. I see it in the future. I've seen it in Cars 3, you know, the whole transition that the cars made. These cars are starting to look more and more like sports cars instead of sedans that you buy on Monday. I believe that was the point when they went to the Mustang and the Camaro-style race cars. I also heard that maybe the Camaro is going to be retired again. I don't know if there's some truth to that or not. It'll be interesting to see. Chevrolet seems to retire every car that becomes a NASCAR. So they don't. It's not that they don't sell on Monday anymore. They just don't sell at all. So, you know, if you're if you're a happy owner of a Camaro, please speak up now because they seem to be obsolete. Okay, so we talked about A.J. Allmendinger earlier. A.J., of course, has been on this great run this year with Kellogg Racing. Several top five finishes, really close wins. He had a win taken away from him already. He won on an oval track, not a road course. How significant is it right now, Mr. CJ Sports, to make sure that you have a driver like that just in case you lose a Jimmy Johnson? You know, something like Jimmy Johnson's ordeal happens again. How important is it to have a guy with that kind of experience as your backup driver right now, being the nature of racing and the way that it is? And you know, we just had, you know, our seven-time champion, Jimmy Johnson, who's on a farewell tour. He had to sit out a race, and this is just 1 week. We expected maybe a month of him to be out. How important is it to find that backup driver and somebody of the type of caliber like A.J. Allmendinger? And does that transition into maybe something bigger for A.J. down the road?
I never thought I'd hear that question.
I don't know if it'll transition. We all know A.J.'s track record. I don't know if it'll necessarily transition to anything else. Other than
almost in the baddest ride. He had Joey Logano's ride, bro. He screwed up at the best time of his career. Ryan Blaney or Joey Logano.
We say the same thing about Jeremy Mayfield, but sometimes, you know, get you.
He's a hell of a drug.
We look at sports differently, and this was a question that I talked to Izzo last night. You know, baseball is not a marathon this year; it's a 60-game sprint. Basketball, you know, they're wrapping this up and trying to get the rest of the season, playoffs, and the champion done in like 2 months. Things are different, and how teams are preparing and how they build their rosters are different. This year, having somebody like that, a key person that can step in and be a backup driver, and really until this is completely – everybody's past this scare, is a big piece. I could see maybe more drivers, maybe in the Xfinity Series, have contracts where, look, if this driver – you're part of our organization. You're now officially a Hendrick driver. You know, if things don't pay, you know, one of our drivers go down, you step in on Sunday kind of ordeal. I can see some of these Xfinity drivers and maybe some of the truck drivers being prepared to and be under contract to step in where it needs to be stepped in, especially the rest of the season with the fear of COVID as it is.
Yeah, definitely. So I just now checked over, and Craig said that they were going through pretty bad storms down there. So that's why we did not get Craig back on. I swear, I think that guy's fixing to make a. I think he's on the verge of a whole life changing experience. It's gonna be just really great to see what kind of blessings are ahead for Craig. This guy, he's worked with us for 3 years now, and you know we've watched him completely. You know, he's had a caterpillar moment. You know, where he turned into a butterfly. A lot of opportunities have opened up for Craig, and we just hate that we weren't able to finish the bit with him here tonight. Mr. CJ Sports, Scott Dixon. He won the race at the Indy. I don't know if you caught the Grand Prix of Indianapolis, but if you did, Scott Dixon was the winner. Most people chose Will Power. I had Joseph Newgarden as my pick. Scott Dixon, the guy's been around a very long time. I think he got given a couple of shots in a Chip Ganassi car years ago. Do you remember that, Mr. CJ Sports?
Like I said, other than the Danica years, I can remember growing up and watching the 500. I was kind of a now Unser Jr. fan. Outside of that, I didn't watch it much. I was really just strictly NASCAR. And then when Danica came on the scene, you know, I talk about this all the time. I was at a bar watching the race that she actually won in Japan, and they had the water coming, seeping out the track, whatever, and it didn't look like they were going to run it. So I went home, didn't think nothing of it, went straight to bed versus going home and turning the TV back on. And, of course, the only time that she wins the damn race, I didn't even get to see it, and I pissed me off. Once she switched over, that was kind of it. I don't know, because Indy's a little bit different to me. NASCAR, they try to make the cars a little more even, and it's about the drivers. To me, Indy, you have one or two teams that really just dominate and just blow everybody away. And I'm also a big fan of rubbing and racing, and there's not rubbing in Indy. I mean, you just can't. So I'm a big fan of the rubbing. So
it's the restarts. That's the most exciting part of these Indian F1 races are starts and restarts because they have to really give each other room. As you said, there's no rubbing in that style of racing. When these wheels touch each other, the devastation is almost a 100% sure, you know, something's going to happen there. Bottas wins in the F1. Lewis Hamilton, I believe, had issues, but his teammate and Team Mercedes won. Mercedes has been the dominant car in F1 for quite a while. Stories are out that Ferrari is wanting to create an investigation against Mercedes because of something that has to do with their steering wheel. It'll be interesting to see. F1 has already basically deemed what Mercedes has done as legal, so not sure really why Ferrari is contesting series in their decision based off of some technology that Mercedes is using. But sports cars come back this weekend. Corvette. They found their way in victory lane in only the third race of its entire lifetime. This is the new mid-engine Corvette. Any thoughts, guys, on this new mid-engine Corvette? Have y'all seen one? Do y'all know anything about the mid-engine Corvette? How does it look? I haven't seen one yet. Have you guys?
Nope.
It must be a rich people's car. I don't know. Third time out, and the mid-engine Corvette is in victory lane. They raced 2 hours and 40 minutes, and that's a very, very short race for sports cars. They raced at Daytona, which is kind of, like I said, it's really kind of strange because if you connect the dots, Jim France owns the sports car series. They're racing at Daytona on the 4th of July, which we know that the Cup car should have been there on a typical schedule, though that schedule had nothing to do with COVID-19. That was just what they had already put into effect. Daytona is actually the last race of the chase. I mean, the last race before the chase. That's going to be pretty interesting there. Of course, it's in the middle of hurricane season, so it's no telling when we'll actually have that race. And these 4 o'clock start times are horrid. I don't understand. You're in the South mainly. We all know that the humidity builds up, the heat builds up all day, and the devil beats his wife somewhere around 4 o'clock. That's why the rain comes down with most of the time no clouds in the sky. That's what we call the devil beating his wife when you go outside and the sun's shining and rain's coming down. But that's the South. That's the way that it is. And the humidity level rises. Finally, about 4 o'clock, the skies have had enough. It's hot. Rain comes pouring down, washes everything away. NASCAR needs to get back to the traditional 12 or 1 o'clock start time. And do I have all in favor? Say aye.
Yes and no.
Uh-oh. We got another Craig Moore here. Come on. I just missed a week to ask. Come on.
I don't mind some races starting at 2 or 3 o'clock, but, of course, I don't live in every state, so I don't know what the weather kind of does in each kind of state, depending on the year. And from what obviously heard, not just now, but what I've heard when the schedule came out, same with Daytona being the last race of a regular season and everything, a lot of the people down south that I've seen on Twitter say, oh, well, you probably gave yourself an automatic rain-shortened race or a two-day race because at that time it's hurricane season and you don't know when they can strike at any time. And so I guess NASCAR maybe could have looked into that situation a little better, in my opinion, but it again, it depends on what days and when do you think you'll attract more viewers. Like, obviously, on a Sunday afternoon, you'll attract a lot of viewers. But if you're running a midweek race, obviously more around nighttime, and Saturdays are going to be the same way. But I feel like maybe some Saturday races, they could run earlier.
Right. I have a simple solution. If you want to run a 4 o'clock start time, make sure the track has light. And, you know, I've heard that Indianapolis is going to get light. I've waited for the prophecy to be filled that Talladega has a night race, right? Talladega Nights. I mean, you know, we got to have that prophecy filled. But basically, if you want to have a 4 o'clock start time, make sure that that you know you have lights around the facility just in case you run into these kind of issues that we've seen. And most of the racetracks built these days, of course, they have lights. So we're just at those tracks right now where you don't have that opportunity to race later on. I would much rather have a 2 o'clock in the morning race than a Monday morning race, because I'll be real honest with you, that affects my schedule, man. You know what I mean? I would rather stay up all night and have 3 hours sleep going in the next morning than to feel like I would rather be at home watching than I would be working. Because, you know, I mean, look, I mean, you know, you have to look at it as a fan as well. Most people leave out on Monday. So if you raced until 2 o'clock in the morning, they do that every weekend out at the dirt tracks and drag strips. So, you know, I don't really. It's one of the best races I ever seen was a delayed Daytona 500 where Juan Pablo Montoya.
Yep.
You know 2011, man, what a race that was, and it'll forever live in infamy, being the things that happened in that race between the Brad Keselowski and Dale Jr. jog to the bathroom, and Juan Pablo Montoya blowing up the jet dryer, Dave Blaney almost winning the Daytona 500. There was so many storylines that actually come out of that. I believe Brad Keselowski, maybe I think he was the winner, or Jimmy Johnson. I don't really know. I'll have to go back and check that. I don't think it was Brad, though. I think that was a couple of years later. But anyway, so we've been able to fill a lot of time here tonight. I do have, I guess, we're racing at Kentucky right now, 75 laps in, 134 laps. Up to right now, and I want you guys, honest opinion, if you haven't watched very many Xfinity races or truck races, then just try to give what you believe is a good answer. What I believe right now, the best style of racing has been coming out of the Xfinity Series, and I'm a humongous Truck Series supporter. Like, Truck Series for years, constantly, best series out. Just love seeing the young guys mixed with the old guys. Xfinity, I wasn't really on board until these new composite bodies, guys, and it just feels like the Xfinity Series has it going on. They're racing one type of race car. There's no horsepower reduction. The drivers are getting better and better. You're seeing guys like Jeremy Clement running up front. You're seeing, you know, names like Mike Lynette, Ryan Sieg, Anthony Alfredo, Moffitt. You're seeing these guys that, you know, you don't have a bunch of Cup guys filling the seats. What's the most exciting series for you right now, Mr. CJ Sports? And then we'll close it out with Taz before we give our shout out.
I had to agree. I think that we're at a time where it's very exciting to be a NASCAR fan in the aspect we have a lot of talent. And we've been seeing this. We've watched it in the ARCA series. We've watched it as far as back as the K&N series. And we've been blessed with the opportunities because NBC Sports was picking up the K&N series. And then MAV TV or whatever it was picking up the ARCA series races. And so we've gotten an opportunity and has been more spotlight on these drivers coming up through the series and with all these diversity programs, Drive for Diversity and everything else, we're getting more drivers and cars and more opportunities, and we're getting NASCAR basically got this whole big farm system now that they've been able to pick from, and we're starting to reap the benefits. Now we're starting to see, you know, the ARCA series filling with all these pounds of drivers, all these drivers that came through that we've had on the show, and now we're in the Xfinity and Truck Series But the Xfinity Series, very, very, very exciting because there's a lot of talent there, and they are doing everything they can to prove that they deserve to be in that next class to move up and waiting for an opportunity. There's not a lot of opportunities. There's only 40 cars out there on Sunday. Well, now it's on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and every other day of the week, but you know what I mean. 40 spots in the Cup Series. And so there's a very limited opportunity, and of course, some of them are already coming up in, you know, the Hendrick system and the Joe Gibbs system, so that it even limits the opportunities even more. So now with the competition being as probably the highest level we've seen in the Xfinity Series and Truck Series, now these drivers got to step it up even more and put on a better show and build a resume better. And so we're getting the opportunity to kind of reap those benefits because we're seeing some of the best racing Xfinity Series that we've seen in a long time.
And you nailed it before we let Taz go in on this. You said it, Mr. CJ Sports. We've been marketing these guys. We've known who some of these guys were since, like you said, the K&N East and West Series. Some of them, even as far back as the late model class as a Hickory Motor Speedway, right or wrong. I mean, we've had Noah Grassley.
We had Natalie on way before that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that guy, he had Similac behind his ears the first time that he come on the show here. So, you know, you're seeing these guys, Haley, who was never impressive, Justin Haley, he was never impressive in a modified on dirt. All of a sudden, we're seeing success from him. There's only a certain amount of rides that are going to be, who's going to be out of the handful of guys right now, you know, what guys are going to make it to Cup, CJ Sports, Taz, you know, because those rides are getting filled pretty fast, man. There's only going to be a few more drivers that walk away in the next couple of years, and then we are completely full of nothing but new talent. There's going to be a lot of guys, and you know, future Tommy Houston and Jimmy Means and stuff in the lower series. Car owner, truck owners like Billy Ballou, they've just disappeared. I'm hoping to see those come back as names are made in the lower two series. Taz, you want to close on that, man?
I'm liking the development pool coming up through Xfinity and trucks, and I like the truck series the best, to be quite honest. I never really got much into the lower series until I started seeing Friesen running truck races. I'm like, hey, that's a Northeast Modified driver running truck races in NASCAR. This is amazing. So I started watching more of the lower series stuff because before it was always Dale Jr., that I would watch for, and I never really watched much of the trucks until Stu came in. And then, so it's amazing to see in the last couple of years that these lower series are getting all these younger drivers and making the names out of themselves. And it's great to see guys who either can't really run a Cup Series, Not because that they don't have the talent or they don't have the drive to race some of these top Cup teams, but maybe they're just better off running the trucks in Xfinity on a regular basis, and that's the Cup Series for them. So it's interesting to see how these veterans mix up with these young guns, and it's amazing to watch, and you don't have to always worry about with these lower series if they're racing week in, week out. I mean, now given the situation at hand, it's a little different, but normally trucks race like, what, one or two races every 2 to 3 weeks, and then we don't see anything from them for another couple of weeks, and or Xfinity runs like 2 months straight, and they take like 2 weeks off, and they're back at it for 2 months straight. So it's just amazing to see all that come about.
The Truck Series only races 20 races a year. I think that it would be great to see an expanded schedule with the Truck Series, racing a few more races, maybe a little less in the Xfinity, maybe, you know, running one and, you know, one or the other. But I do like the fact that the Truck Series has been going back to some of the short tracks that were previously taken off the schedule. course, they've tried some races at, you know, Rockingham and stuff that didn't quite work out. But for the most part, seeing them go to St. Louis and other tracks like that, I think they raced up in up in Toledo a couple of years ago, maybe last year. I know it was the ARCA series that raced up there as well. But you know, they've hit certain spots that you know, you won't see on the Cup schedule for sure. But the Truck Series has always been a great sideshow for NASCAR. I think it, you know, the product has only gotten better over the years. Of course, you've got guys like the 88 guys, the Menards. What is his name? Matt Crafton.
Matt Crafton.
And Johnny Sauter. Yeah, they've made names for themselves, right? Ron Hornaday made a name for himself in the Truck Series. It's crazy because, you know, when you had Ron Newman, Casey Kane, Kurt Busch, all these drivers kind of come up around the same time. You know, Ron Newman, they'd never heard of Ron Newman before he got into Penske's big ride. You didn't hear of who Jimmy Johnson was until he got into the 48. That's not necessarily the way that it's going now, that you don't see those big leaps anymore of no-name drivers stepping into Cup cars and becoming – you know, the next big thing. That, you know, Carl Edwards come out of nowhere. Like, we know when they fired Jeff Burton and that, you know, it was the white number 99, Carl Edwards, I'd never heard of the guy before he stepped into a Cup car. So, you know, I don't know if it's the geographics changed or how they've promoted the lower series a lot more than what I think they used to. Whatever it is, the recipe has given us better racing in the lower series. It's created a better fan base than what it was before. And I think that it all goes back to the fact of it. You limited the amount of races that Cup drivers could take these rides. Now we actually have a good feel of what a farm system is supposed to feel like for a lower series. When you had a bunch of Cup guys racing in the trucks in the Xfinity series, you didn't have the level of competition from the other guys. They were just steadily trying to, you know, they were trying to just stay involved in it. Now they have a chance to win it, and I think that's made a big difference. It's awesome to see Gresden, Cindric, Briscoe, you know, Riley Hurst, Harrison Burton, Ross Chastain. I mean, 3 or 4 years ago, these guys were unheard of, and now they're the dominant ones in the Xfinity Series, and we'll get to know them before they make it to Cup, unlike how traditionally in years past, you know, if you weren't the son of a racer, then, you know, you were given one shot and that's about all you got. You know, Clint Bowyer, I think he ran well with Richard Childress's Xfinity Series team before he was promoted. Of course, we've seen Chase Elliott run in Junior Motorsports, get him a couple championships, you know. But you also had Jeff Fuller, who was a hell of a damn Xfinity driver and never made it as a Cup driver. You had Kenny Wallace, you know, another guy that was really good in Xfinity, not so good in Cup. You had Ty Bodine. Man, what better truck racer than Ty Bodine? He should be a Hall of Famer, for crying out loud. You go and look at his Cup statistics, they're not too good. So, you know, I think we're going to have a lot more of that in the future, and I'm really looking forward to it. Guys, we've gone about 5 minutes over. I want to thank y'all for listening to the show. Taz, you've done a great job sitting in the co-pilot seat over there. I'm gonna give you send you some yellow caution flag wings so that you can say that you've officially been indoctrinated by the caution flag. And Mr. CJ Sports, as always, man. Is there anything that we missed? Because I think we covered a lot of topics tonight.
I think we got it all.
That sounds great. All right, well, y'all enjoy the race weekend. Go out and support your local tracks. I will be down at Hattiesburg Speedway next Friday night. I'm filling in for the great Ron Southern. So I'm going to have a little bit of homecoming to my old Speedway, Hattiesburg Speedway. I get to announce down there next Friday night. Really looking forward to that reunion. $1,000 to win on the Crate Lake model side, guys. $1,000 to win. Get those cars ready. Of course, I'll be at Wide Eye Motorsports Park at the House of Hook this weekend, Saturday night, for local racing series. I believe that we'll also have the Mississippi Street Stock Series there. They're paying $1,000 to win in the Southern Outlaw Midgets. So we're going to bring the Midgets back. Last time we had about 4 or 5 of them. Hopefully this time we'll have 6 or 8. And our hot shot counts have been going up. Our modified count was not very good the last time we were there. Hopefully we'll have that back where it should be. But you know, great turnouts every weekend with the factory stock and the 602 Sportsman late model series. The 604 guys, the sport, Endurance, or Crate Racing USA, late model 604s. They've really got to get more of those guys out there, so we can give diligence to the fans that are in the stands and battling this COVID-19 environment. Well, we hope you stay safe. We don't give a damn if you wear a mask. Enjoy your life. You only live once. And vote for Trump 2020. Anything else, guys?
Next week, Brandon Hightower, promoter and driver, from not only the Xfinity Series, but also for the Southern Super Modified Series of races at Chatham Speedway this weekend. He'll be on next week.
I want to make sure that thank Carolina Sports Plus, more to music. Make sure you guys check out the 110 Nation on Twitter, at 110 Nation. Like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Make sure you jump over to the site, www.the110nationsports.com. The 110 Nation Sports Show.
That's your baby right there. That's your baby right there. Yeah. That's your baby right there. Go back to that. Go back to that website one more time, Mr. CJ Sports. Give them that website because I know we've got to have traffic at that website. That is an important revenue source. So make sure you hit that website again.
www.the110nationsports.com. Next Monday night, 8 o'clock, the 110 Nation Sports Show. Izzo will be in the house at 8:30, our NHL expert. Looking forward to another great show.
Okay, and also you can find us on Spreaker, and Blog Talk Radio. Did I get that right?
Yep.
All right, sounds good. So just look up the podcast, guys. You can find us on iMusic, iTunes as well. Just look up the 110 Nation Sports Show, and you'll be able to find us there. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for being part of the show. Taz, you're awesome. CJ Sports, word up. We'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.